The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
Well, that was a song by the Tall Dwarves called The Brain That Wouldn't Die. And, of course, New Zealand duo of singer-songwriters Chris Knox and Alec Bathgate, otherwise known as the Tall Dwarves, who were forebearers of both the lo-fi movement and indie rock writ large, bringing an experimental approach to laconic jangle pop melodies and recording everything themselves on a four-track. Their somewhat warped songs always kept pop at the core, and their shabby psychedelic productions paved the way for both the Elephant Six Collective and the early home recording phase of bands like Pavement, Smog, Eric's Trip, and many others. The band produced material prolifically, issuing near annual EPs throughout the 80s and spending the 90s and early 2000s on albums like 1990's Weevil and 2002's The Sky Above, The Mud Below. Knox sadly suffered a debilitating stroke in 2009, bringing the project to an abrupt halt. In 2022, Merge Records issued the 55-song anthology Unraveled 1981 through to 2002, collecting some of the best moments from the band's extensive catalogue. Knox and Bathgate formed the Tall Dwarves in 79, following the demise of their previous band, the legendary Toy Love. Recording on Knox's four-track machine, the duo debuted with the 1981 EP Three Songs, highlighted by the classic Nothing's Going to Happen. The record was a hit, although it left many Toy Love fans baffled by the pair's new musical direction. Tall Dwarfs' releases were deliberately primitive, the DIY ethic at its purest. Songs were all recorded at home, performed in bedrooms, hallways and the like, and definitely experimental in nature, presaging the rise of what was ultimately dubbed lo-fi as the sound began to grow in prominence and influence over the course of the decades to follow. In 1982, Bathgate relocated from Dunedin to Christchurch, with the distance between him and Knox totalling some 750 kilometres. Tall Dwarfs was relegated to a side project, with both men meeting once or twice annually to record and perform the occasional live date. The first product of their long-distance union was the EP Lewis Likes His Daily Dip, issued in 1982 on the fledgling Flying Nun label. Canned Music followed a year later, with 1984's Slug Bucket Hairy Breath Monster, a song we've just heard from that album. Tall Dwarfs scored their most successful record to date, the track The Brain That Wouldn't Die. It was a cult hit across New Zealand, and with its inclusion on the Flying Nun compilation Tuatara, it received significant international exposure as well. After recording 1985's That's the Short and Long of It, Bathgate moved to the UK. Many predicted the duo's demise, but he returned after a year, and the Tall Dwarfs reunited for the 1986 Throw a Sickie, so named because both Bathgate and Knox were suffering from colds during production. With 1988's Dogma, the duo finally graduated to a proper studio. The EP featured The Slide, a tale of euthanasia, which became one of their most controversial and best-known efforts.
Thank you.
The long out-of-print first Tall Dwarfs EPs were mined for the subsequent Hello Cruel World Best Of collection, the first of their records to earn proper worldwide release. It won them considerable global media coverage. In 1990, they reconvened in the studio, emerging with so much material that the long-standing EP format was finally forsaken to release a full-length LP, dubbed Weevil. A year later, another album, Folk Songs, appeared. A tour of America followed in 92, and in 94, Tall Dwarfs issued the three EPs LP, a collection of 18 new tracks sequenced to resemble a trio of mini-albums. Though Knox had long maintained a solo career, Bathgate waited until 96 to make his solo debut with Gold Lame. Still, Tall Dwarfs remained intact, issuing Stumpy a year later. 50 Flavours of Glue arrived in 98, and The Sky Above, The Mud Below followed in 2002, by which point the band had been in motion for more than 20 years and had influenced multiple generations of new artists. The Athens, Georgia-based Elephant Six Collective, and their associated bands had been especially moved by the output of Tall Dwarfs, and in 2005, Elephant Six band Olivia Tremor Control embarked on a short US tour with Tall Dwarfs. In 2009, just as the band was gearing up to record a new album, Knox had a terrible stroke. A host of acts indebted to the Tall Dwarfs for their lo-fi path, finding quickly put together a benefit compilation titled Stroke, Songs for Chris Knox. Contributions came from Yola Tingo, Lamb Chop, Bonnie Prince Billy, Neutral Milk Hotel, Jeff Mungum, and many others. Knox's stroke effectively ended the band, but their legacy lived on and several compilations appeared in the following years. In 2022, Merge released Unraveled 1981-2002, a collection of gems from every phase of the band's long-running evolution. That was by Jason Akinney and Rovi.
Gonna happen. Maybe all the children in small rooms will fall silent at a wall, a window, and forget to breathe for just 1 minute because of some beauty that has not been altered. Damn, or pointed out by the clumsy dark oafs who train them. Nothing's gonna happen. 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 Then again, all the time, every minute, never ending, unrelenting, all around us, without pausing, endless, endless, all pervading, moving motion, this way, that way, that way, our way, tick tock, free fall, love, love, kiss, kiss, make, do, be, is, was, I, me, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I think nothing's gonna happen. Silent in a wall, a window,
And that, of course, was Tall Dwarves with Nothing's Going to Happen. Now back to Stranded in Paradise. The Tall Dwarves have had their share of classic compositions, with Chris Knox in Auckland eking out a living as a freelance artist and occasional writer at the time that this was written, and Alex Bathgate in Christchurch pursuing similar employment. There had been few opportunities for the Tall Dwarves to come together, but once, maybe twice a year, they would team up, record another EP, throw in a few live performances, and then go their separate ways. Following the release of three songs in 1981, the duo shifted from Furtive to Flying Nun, and in August 82 came the Dwarves' second release, Lewis Likes His Daily Dip. It had little in common with the first EP. Like all Tall Dwarf projects, it was a hit or miss affair. More experimental than its predecessor, the EP featured a greater variety of instrumentation. Knox on bass, an occasional guitar, two-fingered organ, and all types of crazy percussion. Some of it worked, much of it didn't, and accusations of self-indulgent were well-founded.
Clover.
Amy and Clover, and over my head pull a sheet made of mirror, so I can see myself and leave me for a long time. Do not disturb my rest for ages and ages, for I am tired and I need some relaxing. My mind is cluttered with the days and the nighttime. My bread is buttered on both sides of the story. There is a running joke of who was the love took his life to end the peace and consentment we all expect to have in time and tradition. The common fear is that we
that, of course, was off the album Lewis Likes His Daily Dip, and the track was Clover. 1983's canned music was much better. Apart from the poignant and far too short Shade for Today, where Alec proves he can sing.
Thank you.
This third release was very much Knoxian in content. The feminist stance of women, the tirade against the glossy mag ad agency mentality on beauty. Joyshin, This Room Is Wrong.
The room is bare.
the scathing attack on European values and the musically strange Turning Brown and Torn in Two.
All right, Jim, what's the problem?
Showing up the strength we lacked, closing up the way we act. Photos of women have treated us sex, turning round and torn in two. Coffee stains his letter too. Who it is I have no clue. So many races with blithely among, letting slide a racial slur till they all become a blur, expecting them to call us up. And there are times we say we mean it. I guess this is that sort of time. Stretching sense to make a rhyme. Struggling to complete a line. Religions and creatures are dead as the gods. Occultism is maybe worse. I wonder sometimes which came first, across the mystic or the curse. People who govern are strangers to me, and I'm a stranger to them too. Presumably they don't know you, that's why they do the job they do.
And the gentle but horrific Walking Home. All of those songs have added to a great collection. However, Can Opener is just weird.
And music.
Side one is calm, non-abusive, although highly fragmented. Side two is schizophrenic.
Canned Music was a down collection of songs. Slug Bucket, Hairy Breath Monster, released in November 84, was very much up, and any conclusions that Knox and Bathgate stopped rocking with Toy Love went instantly out the window. From the B-movie scenario of The Brain That Wouldn't Die, which we heard as the first track of the show, through the instant anthem of I've Left Memories Behind,
of my bedroom wall. vaguely remember where I put it. Your face looks really familiar, but I can't quite put a name to it. So,
Bill's disease, day one, skip day four, and into crush, an exercise in self-examination with layer upon marvellous layer of bathgate, guitar, and knocks at his most venomous. 1985 brought That's the Short and Long of It. Side A, 45 RPM, was credited to Wall of Dwarfs, and featured a 6-minute version of Nothing's Going to Happen, with a 20-piece orchestra, guitars, woodwinds, keyboards, percussion, and backing vocals, arranged by Ivan Zagny. The B-side, 33 RPM, features 10 songs, including Burning Blue, classic Dwarfs, and Gone to the Worms, an old Enemy song. Tall Dwarf's future looked uncertain later in the year when Bathgate shifted to London, but he was back within 12 months, immediately teaming up with Knox for Throw a Sickie, more of the same, Further proof that Tall Dwarves are one of New Zealand's most innovative acts and Kiwi Rock's greatest two-man rock and roll band. 1987's effort, Dogma, continued Tall Dwarves' high standards with The Slide, which addresses the question of euthanasia for the elderly infirm, alone worth the price of the EP. There was also in 1982 the Chris Knox Ego Gratification album, Songs for Cleaning Guppies. Well titled, it displayed Knox's need for a partner to temper his extravagances, a role which Bathgate filled to perfection, and apart from being one of New Zealand's most widely imitated guitarists, his role in the Tall Dwarves should never be overshadowed by the higher profile of Chris Knox. In fact, in the years since, Knox developed as a soloist, and although no great musician, he added adequate guitar and keyboards for his solo performances. Besides, Chris Knox had independently pursued musical interests in areas which have not been so extreme. And that was a song by Otis Mace called Effort, Money and Time on the Little Critters 6-song EP recorded by Otis Mace and the Psychic Pet Healers. Richard Lelo, better known as Otis Mace, had released a number of charming records in the 1980s. And then there's the jazz-influenced Ross Mullins of Last Man Down and the Elephant of Phil Browning, none have threatened the status quo. Ivan Zagani didn't follow any particular musical path. Only his sheer professionalism remained consistent. An Englishman who settled in NZ in 1980, Zagani left behind close on 20 years musical experience. He started out in pop music, passed through a folky period, moved into R&B, session work, jazz rock, and compositional study at university, leaving to avant-garde experiments and conducting choirs. The jazz guitarist that Aucklanders came across in the 1980s was a master craftsman. In 1982, the Auckland City Council employed Zagani to take command of a project employment program, PEP. This was the PEP scheme. the alternative to the dole for underemployed musicians. During his 12-month contract, Zagny's major achievements were the formation of two totally different bands, Big Sideways and Avant Garage. Big Sideways was a brass-dominated jazz-funk outfit featuring up to a dozen musicians, including such notables as Mark Bell, Sid Paisley, Kelly Rogers and Robbie Sinclair. Long after Zagny had moved on to Avant Garage and beyond, Big Sideways continued as a working unit, albeit with an ever-changing lineup. They disbanded in 1984. Avant Garage was a more ambitious project formed in January 1983. This 10-piece combo was an attempt to fuse various musical styles with musicians coming from markedly different backgrounds, classical, jazz and rock. Mike Cahan, Tim Mahon and Ben Staples all being members. Unlike Big Sideways, it could never have really happened without government work scheme support and Zagny's arranging skills. For 6 months, Avant Garage performed and conducted workshops for young musicians at schools, art galleries and other alternative venues in the Auckland area, later taking the concept around the North Island. Both Big Sideways and Avant Garage released albums on an independent label which grew out of the PEP scheme, Unsung Records. Ivan Zagny, meanwhile, had continued along whatever musical path he cared to explore, recording an album for Ode Records with drummer-producer Steve Garden and lending his arranging skills to Tall Dwarfs in 1985's orchestral version of Nothing's Going to Happen.
Nothing's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen.
cult figures doing their own thing. You've got to have a little respect for anyone who veered left of mainstream, no matter how remote their music may have been from personal tastes. They're unlikely to ever pack out theatres, but they're an important part of Kiwi rock. Shucking the colonial mentality, those artists have made a decision to at least attempt innovation, knowing that the rewards will be few. Dave Dobbin, for all his considerable talent, follows Bill Doreen and Tall Dwarf's lead. Many may not pursue the same path, but the difference is important. To the majority of New Zealanders, the DIY artists remain on the sideline, posing little threat to the local star system. It is those who have kept within the confines of overseas trends who have achieved the greatest widespread success. And that concludes the chapter of The Cult of Cult in Stranded in Paradise. And our next episode, in a fortnight's time, will be the chapter of Slipping into the Mainstream. So listen out for that. And thanks for joining me on Stranded in Paradise. I'm Chrissy Small. And most of the show is from the book by John Dix.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.